In the western quadrant, the adult Triceratopsians were fighting among themselves, charging and locking horns. One animal already lay wounded and dying. Muldoon said,
"They've got about an hour of good daylight left, Dr. Grant, if you want to try and find that nest."
"Right," Grant said, "I do."
"I was thinking," Muldoon said, "that when the Costa Ricans come, they will probably imagine this island to be a military problem, something to destroy as soon as possible."
"Damn right," Gennaro said.
"They'll bomb it from the air," Muldoon said. "Perhaps napalm, perhaps nerve gas as well, but from the air."
"I hope they do," Gennaro said. "This island is too dangerous. Every animal on this island must be destroyed, and the sooner the better." Grant said, "That's not satisfactory." He got to his feet. "Let's get started."
"I don't think you understand, Alan," Gennaro said. "It's my opinion that this island is too dangerous. It must be destroyed. Every animal on this island must be destroyed. And that's what the Costa Rican guard will do. I think we should leave it in their capable hands. Do you understand what I'm saying?"
"Perfectly," Grant said again.
"Then what's your problem?" Gennaro said. "It's a military operation. Let them do it."
Grant's back ached where the raptor had clawed him.
"No," he said. "We have to take care of it."
"Leave it to the experts," Gennaro said.
Grant remembered how he had found Gennaro just 6 hours earlier, huddled and terrified in the cab of a truck in the maintenance building. And suddenly he lost his temper and slammed the lawyer up against the concrete wall.
"Listen, you little bastard! You have a responsibility to this situation, and you're going to start living up to it."
"I am," Gennaro said, coughing. "No, you're not. You've shirked your responsibility all along from the very beginning. The hell, you sold investors on an undertaking you didn't fully understand. You were part owner of a business you failed to supervise. You did not check the activities of a man whom you knew from experience to be a liar, and you permitted that man to screw around with the most dangerous technology in human history. I'd say you shirked your responsibility."
Gennaro coughed again.
"Well, now I'm taking responsibility."
"No," Grant said, "you're still shirking it. And you can't do that anymore."
He released Gennaro, who bent over, gasping for breath. Grant turned to Muldoon.
"What have we got for weapons?"
Muldoon said,
"We've got some control nets and shock prods."
"How good are these shock prods?" Grant said.
"They're like bang sticks for sharks. They have an explosive capacitor tip. Delivers a shock on contact. High voltage, low amps. Not fatal, but it's definitely incapacitating."
"That's not going to do it," Grant said. "Not in the nest."
"What nest?" Gennaro said, coughing. "The raptor nest," Ellie said. "The raptor nest?"
Grant was saying, "Have you got any radio collars?"
"I'm sure we do," Muldoon said.
"Get one. And is there anything else that can be used for defense?"
Muldoon shook his head.
"Well, get whatever you can."
Muldoon went away. Grant turned to Gennaro.
"Your island is a mess, Mr. Gennaro. Your experiment is a mess. It has to be cleaned up. But you can't do that until you know the extent of the mess. And that means finding the nests on the island, especially the raptor nests. They'll be hidden. We have to find them and inspect them and count the eggs. We have to account for every animal born on this island. Then we can burn it down. But first, we have a little work to do."
Ellie was looking at the wall map, which now showed the animal ranges. Tim was working the keyboard. She pointed to the map.
"The raptors are localized in the southern area, down where the volcanic steam fields are. Maybe they like the warmth."
"Is there any place to hide down there?"
"Turns out there is," she said. "There's massive concrete waterworks to control flooding in the southern flatlands. Big underground area, water and shade."
Grant nodded. "Then that's where they'll be."
Ellie said, "I think there's an entrance from the beach, too." She turned to the consoles and said, "Tim, show us the cutaways on the waterworks."
Tim wasn't listening.
"Tim?"
He was hunched over the keyboard.
"Just a minute," he said. "I found something." "What is it?" "It's an unmarked storage room. I don't know what's there."
"Then it might have weapons," Grant said. They were all behind the maintenance building, unlocking a steel storm door, lifting it up into the sunlight to reveal concrete steps going down into the earth. "Damned Arnold," Muldoon said as he hobbled down the steps. "He must have known this was here all along."
"Maybe not," Grant said. "He didn't try to go here."
"Well, then, Hammond knew. Somebody knew."
"Where is Hammond now?"
"Still in the lodge."
They reached the bottom of the stairs and came upon rows of gas masks hanging on the wall in plastic containers. They shone their flashlights deeper into the room and saw several heavy glass cubes, 2 feet high, with steel caps. Grant could see small, dark spheres inside the cubes. It was like being in a room full of giant pepper mills, he thought. Muldoon opened the cap of one, reached in, and withdrew a sphere. He turned it in the light, frowning.
"I'll be damned."
"What is it?" Grant said.
"Moro 12," Muldoon said. "It's an inhalation nerve gas. These are grenades. Lots and lots of grenades."
"Let's get started," Grant said grimly.